Again, we just come here to exalt you, Lord. And so grateful that you sent your son Jesus because of your amazing love for us. So this morning we give you praise and honor and glory. And I thank you too, Lord, that as your word goes out this morning, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word goes out and does not return void, and that it accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. In all that said, all that is done here this morning, may all the praise and the honor go to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, it's good to be here. Would somebody like to take a shot or a guess at what we're going to be speaking about here this morning? Huh? No one knows. Huh? I haven't heard it yet. James. Okay, we all got James. I was just looking at, you know, this, as I say, this isn't really a series, but it's just so interesting. And I think this is the seventh time that I'm going to be speaking on a Sunday morning from James. And at the same time, I want to ask you, are you ready for a challenge? Are you ready to be challenged by the word? Folks, we mustn't come to church or enter any building like this to have our ears tickled. Because unfortunately, the church is becoming, I'm saying worldwide, it's becoming more and more, I don't know, in some places more and more like the world. Maybe that's a good example. And we want to just hear stuff that we want to hear. And people are coming into churches, they are being fed, and then they don't like what they hear, and, oh no, I don't like this, and they want to go somewhere else. We need to make sure that as we enter, you know, into this place, that we are ready to be not only challenged by the Word of God, but that we need to apply in our own lives what we actually hear. We really do. That we are well prepared for that big day, the soon return of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So yeah, let's not be those that we just like to hear what we like to hear. Amen. But of course, there's no one in this church like that. This message, what I just said there, was for all the other churches that are going to listen to this. All right, so the title of my message today is Things We Should Know About Wisdom. Because James now speaks a lot about wisdom in James chapter 3, verses 13 through to verse 18. Just those six verses there. And as I was processing this, I thought, you know what? Let's have this thing on wisdom as a two-part series. So I'm going to speak. This is going to be part one, what I'm sharing here today, as we speak about what he says about wisdom. And then I will complete it next Sunday. We will talk about wisdom again. And so there it is. That's a good message for title for today's message. Things that we should know about wisdom. There's a lot that we should know about wisdom. And I would say one of the most important things would be, is how do we get it? Well, hopefully we answer that this morning. You know, today we have more knowledge at our disposal than at any time in history. Isn't it amazing? And we've seen how, you know, what's happening now, obviously with AI and so on. So it's not only knowledge, it's also more information. More information has been produced in the last 30 years than the previous 5,000 years. And they say that this information that we've been exposed to is doubling every 4 years. And it's probably even quicker now with AI. But up until now, it's been doubling, you know, every 4 years. So the thing is, why I'm saying all of this, that our world that we are living in has plenty of knowledge and plenty of information. But folks, we lack wisdom. We lack wisdom. And we need to be able to know the difference between wisdom and all of these things that I've mentioned here this morning. I mean, I was just thinking about it. Look at this beautiful country of ours. And not only our country, as you go further north, amazing, amazing resources. These countries in Africa, incredible resources, but absolutely no wisdom in terms of how to manage the resources that are available. So, and also what's interesting about wisdom, you know that wisdom can be learned from those people that are not highly educated. Because so often we think, you know, you have to be highly educated. And I want to unpack all of this because this is just kind of false in terms of what we are led to believe. We can learn stuff from people that are not highly educated. For example, children. Children experience things and they learn from that. And as a result of learning, they have wisdom in certain areas. For example, here's Patrick. He's 10 years old. And this is what he's learned. And that is, never trust your dog to watch your food. Yeah, he's learned. Guess he learned the hard way. Right? And then you got Michael, who's 14 years old. And he says that when your dad is angry and asks you, do I look stupid? Don't answer him. He's learned the hard way. Little wise Michael. In fact, the same Michael, okay, he also learned something else. He says, never tell your mom that her diet is not working. Folks, but these are children, you know, and there's something that they experience and they are wise. You know, it's like little Dion, he's 10 years old. And he's also quite wise because he's learned that don't pick a fight with your little or your younger sister when she's holding your cricket bat. I wonder how he learned that. Huh? And then, of course, Anna, she's only 8. But she's very wise, and part of the wisdom that she's kind of learned is, and she says, never try to baptize your cat. Now, I'm saying, you know, although there's much wisdom in what I've just said here, what these children have said, obviously there's a whole lot more about, you know, when it comes to wisdom. So, you know, part of James's letter, if you remember, I think it was session 1 or session 2, somewhere around there, we spoke about James, this letter, is really about the purpose of trials and tribulations and difficulties that take place in people's lives. And James speaks about that, and he tells us why those things actually happen. I don't want to go back there now, but, you know, for God's plans and God's purposes to actually be worked out in a believer's life, there's one thing that is definitely required, and that is wisdom. Folks, we need wisdom. And what's so amazing, you know, James, you know, he says that we need wisdom, but then he tells us how to get wisdom. And it's not complicated. You know how you get wisdom? Ask for it. Just ask. James 1 verse 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom. How many of us have found ourselves in situations where we need some wisdom and we lack wisdom? I would say all of us. But he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And then watch what God does. Who gives generously to some. Does it say some? No, to all. To all. Without reproach, and it will be given to him. How's that? So when we find ourselves in situations, and you don't have to wait for the big things. You know, little things as well. Just ask, yeah, Lord, just help me with this. And you'll just be amazed. Just be amazed how God intervenes. Because he wants us to be wise. And he wants us to ask him as well. Now, in verse 13, James begins to address an issue on how you and I should be living our lives. Okay? And he starts off by asking a question. And here's a question. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding among you? Now, it's quite interesting because so often, in fact, even in my quiet time this morning, I was reading, Solomon. When Solomon, remember, he asked the Lord, or the Lord said, well, you know, what do you want? And what you find is that the thing of wisdom, insight, and understanding, those three are often linked together. Wisdom, insight, and understanding. And so, you know, he asks a question. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Now, How many of you want to be seen as foolish? None of us. None of us want to be seen as foolish. How many of us want to be seen as unwise? Folks, we all want to be perceived as, you know, being intelligent and as probably and as a person with wisdom. And some of us even go a step further. You know, we all want to, well, we kind of see ourselves as the sharpest tool in the tool shed, right? But sometimes that's not the case, by the way. You know, it's our perception of ourselves. But we want to be perceived as being people that are intelligent and as people that have wisdom. And if you want to have wisdom and to be and you want to be perceived as a person that has wisdom, I want to tell you that it's a good thing. Because it is scriptural. It's scriptural that we desire wisdom. Now, Proverbs, I want to read Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2. It says, if you pay close attention to wisdom and let your mind reach for understanding, that it is again, wisdom, understanding, and let your mind reach for understanding, if indeed you call out for insight, that's the third one, wisdom, insight. And now he says something very, very interesting. He says, because he's already spoken about, you know, if you desiring understanding. Now he carries on, he says, and if you ask, watch here, aloud for understanding. So that word aloud didn't have to be there. It's like the Lord wants us to open our mouths in our prayer time or whenever it is and to verbalize when we're asking him for these things. So it's there. It says, if indeed, and you call out for insight, and if you ask aloud for understanding, you verbalize it. He says, if you search for wisdom as if it were money and hunt for it as if it were a hidden treasure. Now get the picture here. Let's say that there's a house down the road from you that's on the market. And it's on the market, let's say, for 2 million rand. Now, you may not be interested in the house, but you have information that either in that house or on that property, there is a chest of money where there is 20 million rand in this chest, right? No one knows about it, but it's there. It's definitely there. And only you know about it, right? I was pondering this as I was trying to kind of animate this. Man, you would do whatever you could do. Number one, to raise the 2 million, you would, you know, kind of go to the banks. You would, you know, borrow from people. Am I right? So you would make sure that you get the 2 million to buy the house. And then, guess what you're going to be doing? You know it's there. You're going to be up in your ceiling, man, with little goggles on and spotlights and you're going to be digging up your garden until ultimately you find that treasure of 20 million rand. Now, what Proverbs says, if you search for wisdom as if it were money and hunt for it as if it were a hidden treasure, that's how much we need to desire wisdom. The same as if we're chasing after that 20 million chest, whatever. Now, there's a couple of things about this thing of wisdom. We need to make sure that we never, ever, ever confuse wisdom with knowledge. People do. They think because that person's got so much knowledge, gee, they must be so wise. There is no correlation between wisdom and knowledge, right? Another thing that we have to be mindful of, that we must never confuse wisdom with intelligence. People often do that. They think, that person is just so smart, right? They're so smart. And we start to think that they're wise. And folks, the thing is that we can have a whole lot of useless information in our head. Useless information in our heads. And, you know, and we think it's knowledge and we somehow think it's wisdom. Example. If you know how many robots there are in Naboomspruit, Well done. It's useless. Useless information for 99.999% of the population, right? But you happen to know how many robots are there. So you've got knowledge, but it doesn't mean you're wise. Wisdom is more than knowing a whole lot of stuff. That's what I'm saying, all right? So, but there's still somehow a tendency to equate wisdom with intelligence. That's the other one, intelligence. Folks, because people have gone to university and because they've studied for 3 years, 5 years, maybe they've got their degree, they've got their master's, they get a PhD and maybe another PhD, you know, behind their names, it does not make them wise. It doesn't make them wise. It's wonderful because they're obviously super intelligent and they have an incredible memory, but that doesn't make you wise. So we need to know this, you know, the difference between, wisdom and knowledge and having, you know, intelligence and all of these things. So what I want to do now, I want to read from the Message Bible. Now, when you read the Message Bible, please don't use it as your study Bible, okay? It's just good from time to time, you know, it expounds on some of the stuff. But I want to read these six verses, James 3:13 onwards, from the Message. It says, should be up there, okay. Do you want to be counted wise, to build a reputation of wisdom? I want to ask you, who wants that? Who wants to be counted wise and to build a reputation of wisdom? That should be all of us. Then he says, here is what you do. So this is not complicated. He's telling us now what to do. He says, live well. Live wisely. Live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Now, how many people do we know, Hana, they talk, right? So he's telling us here how to receive this wisdom. Then he says here, and I'm going to unpack all of this, kind of line by line just now. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. There's nothing wrong with having ambition, but mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise, like many do, isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. Verse 15, it's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. How are those words? Whenever you're trying to look better than others, like people do, is that right? Do you know people like that? Always trying to elevate themselves and, you know, sorry about this. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at each other's throats. Now he says, real wisdom. So you can see there's two types of wisdom, and we're going to talk about that. Real wisdom, he says, God's wisdom begins with a holy life. There it is, folks. Holy life. That's the start of it. Begins with a holy life. And it is characterized by getting along with others. So not only do we lead a holy life, but let's put effort into making sure that we get on with other people. You know, so often we don't get on with other people. There's disagreements and so on. But we need to be, as Christians, we need to be those who choose our battles. You know, you can go out and you can win every single battle. And I know we can. But sometimes, just for peace sake, we need to make sure that we choose or we pick the battles that we really, you know, get involved in. And if we do pick a battle, let's make sure that we win that battle. Is that right? Then he says, talking about wisdom, it is gentle, reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessing. Not hot one day and cold the next. Up and down, people up and down, where there's inconsistency in people's lives. There's nothing more irritating than dealing with a person that's inconsistent. You don't know what you're going to get. Right? And then he says, not two-faced. verse 18. You can develop a healthy, robust community or family that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work. He specifically says the hard work of getting along with each other. So this thing of getting along with people is not an easy thing. It's hard work. But we need to know that when we do it right, we're actually gaining wisdom, treating each other with dignity and honor. Now, according now to verse 13, our lifestyle will be an indicator of the level of wisdom that we actually have. Our lifestyle, how we live our lives. Let me read it. It starts with a question. Do you want to be counted wise? Yes, we do. Okay. To build a reputation of wisdom. Yes, I want to be counted wise and I want to build a reputation of wisdom. Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. The way you live. The way you live. The way I live. The way we live. The way we conduct ourselves. Folks, many people don't walk the talk. They talk the talk. They talk the talk. They talk the talk. But they don't walk the talk. And what he's saying to us, we need to walk the talk. Right? And what, you know, what they actually say does not line up so often with the way people live. And you find not only Christians, but unbelievers start to look at believers and seeing how they live in their lives, and you know what they do? Hypocrite. Hypocrite. And you must now go and try to minister to somebody, telling them about Jesus, and you have a reputation as a hypocrite because you are not conducting yourself the way that the Lord would want you to conduct yourself. And other people have seen it, and it's out there. All right. So we can actually learn from James that if we want wisdom, firstly, we must ask God. Huh? Okay. And James tells us, this is very interesting, that he tells us that there's two kinds of wisdom. He says, wisdom that comes from God and wisdom that comes from the world or the world system that we are part of while we're here on planet Earth. And I suppose the question should be, how do you tell the difference between wisdom from God and wisdom of this world? And the answer to the question is by the fruit that is evident. That's what he said. The way you and I live our lives, that is the fruit. That's what people need to see. Don't tell them how great you are or how wise you are. Live your life the way the Lord wants you to live your life. They will see it, right? So often we need to be very honest with ourselves, because this is now talking about who we really are. Who are you and who am I when we are in the dark? Who are we when there are no other people around us? Are we the same person? Or do we kind of get involved in stuff that we shouldn't be getting involved in? That would be detrimental to our, how can I say, gaining wisdom. So, now James 4, sorry, it's verse 14, he describes this worldly wisdom. So I want to just read it to us. Now, I want to just give a bit of my testimony, because when I was reading this and preparing this week, I thought, man, that was me. Verse 14 says, but if you have bitter jealousy, is there anybody here that experiences jealousy? Bottom line is, this is worldly wisdom. This doesn't come from God, okay? But the next one was, it was me. Selfish ambition. Now, I said earlier on that ambition, we should be ambitious. There's nothing wrong with ambition. But folks, selfish ambition. And, you know, I grew up in a home where my parents thought it was a good idea to send me to Sunday school. Right? They tried. Okay, they did try. I think they tried about 3 or 4 times in a row. And then eventually they said, okay, he's like us. You know, we don't do church type of thing. But they did try. But so I, you know, obviously I went to weddings, I went to funerals, no time in church at all. And then I got born again when I was 27 years old. And if there was one thing, this is my experience now, if there was one thing that I noticed in myself when I got born again, was suddenly this what he talks about, this selfish ambition left me. It was unbelievable. I suddenly felt free. You know, I was quite happy to, I knew where I was going at 27 years old. I had big dreams and big visions in terms of work and achievement and wow, you know what we like? All of those things. But at 27, when I got born again, this thing of selfish ambition disappeared. It was the one thing, if you had to ask me, the one thing that disappeared in my life was that thing. And it was quite amazing. I suddenly felt kind of free. But it's interesting because if you read the next verse, it talks about selfish ambition as being unspiritual. Now watch the next word. Demonic. Demonic. And that demon, whatever it was, probably around me, was driving me, you know. And when I got born again, became a child of God, suddenly, you know, that thing disappeared. Anyway, you know, that was just something that I can relate to as we're reading this. But so this verse 14 now describes worldly wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Is that what it says there? Oh, okay. All right. So, folks, this earthly wisdom, it opposes heavenly wisdom. There's opposition there. There's a battle that's actually going on. And what earthly wisdom does, it measures success in terms of worldly terms. Okay? This world and how the world sees success. And folks, we're not of this world. We're passing through. The word's very, very clear. Don't get too comfortable here on planet Earth. This is not your home. Not your home. And according to James, this type of wisdom is often the characteristic of an unsaved person. And this, you know, really this person does not care, and maybe that was me at that point, does not care who they hurt in the process of, you know, just climbing up the corporate ladder or whatever, you know, whatever it is. Anyway, verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. And we can see from this kind of wisdom that it actually produces trouble. Right? This is not godly wisdom. But now, there's a heavenly type of wisdom as well. And he speaks about that. This is in verse 17. He says, but the wisdom from above is, first of all, pure. Folks, listen. We need to work on this thing. This thing of purity. Right? This is what the Lord is expecting from us. And I know that we're living in a fallen world, and I know what we're exposed to, and all of this, but the wisdom from above, first of all, is pure, talking about purity. Then it says peaceable. What is that? That is you and I being able to enjoy that peace that surpasses all understanding, that we experience it, that peace. Then he says this wisdom from above is gentle. Now, gentle means that it's tender. Gentle means that it's kind. Gentle means that it's considerate. Is that right? He carries on. Open to reason. We're reasonable. This godly wisdom. Full of mercy. What is mercy? That means that we're lenient, that we are kind, that we are compassionate, that we are forgiving as well. And goes on to say, and good fruits, impartial, is another one. In other words, we're fair. There's no bias there, right? And sincere. We're sincere as well. Now, this, what I've just read to us right here, should describe you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to read it again. Now, this time, let's read it and say, does this describe me? But wisdom from above is pure. Does that describe you? peaceable, experiencing that peace that surpasses all understanding, gentle, are we tender, are we kind, are we considerate, open to reason, we reasonable, is this describing you and me? Full of mercy, we lenient, we kind, we forgiving, we compassionate. Good fruit, that other people can see that there's good fruit in our lives, that we are impartial, and that we are sincere. Now, I'm just saying, that is wisdom from above. And I'm sure it describes each and every one of us in this church. Amen. Is that right? So James, you know, now tells us, you know, what real wisdom really looks like. So are you ready for it? Okay, this is where I want to start. But I don't think I'm going to get too far today. So we'll carry on next week. But as we start to look at this, folks, we should measure ourselves against what the Word of God says. And I said earlier on, this verse 17, the wisdom from above is pure. That also means that this wisdom from above is free from being defiled. That's what it means. And if you look at the Greek word for that, it actually means without flaw. It's flawless. Wisdom from above. And God wants you and I to become more and more like His Son Jesus. Now that's what we need to be doing. We're never going to reach that, of course, but at least we've got a goal to become more like Jesus. And remember too, this is very important for for us as well. That when God looks at you and God looks at me, because we are believers in Jesus, we have God the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. Do you know that He looks at us? It's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when He looks at you and I. So when He looks at us through the veil or through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, He sees you and I as righteous. According to Scripture, if you're born again, you and I are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And righteousness, you can't become more righteous. And you can't become less righteous. You're either righteous or you're not righteous. But we can become more holy and less holy. Like, you know, I'm having a great day, I'm spending time with the Lord, and you know, I'm at this level. Tomorrow, the wheels come off, and man, you know, I'm just exposed to a whole lot of stuff, people cutting me off on the road and getting irritated, and man, I didn't really live like the Lord wanted me to live. And suddenly, you know, the next day I might be at this level at holiness. And then I realize it, and I do something about it, and then the next day we start to push it. So our walk with the Lord in terms of holiness, you know, it's going like this, right? But it should be continually going up. Is that right? But we will have kind of bad days. But folks, when it comes to righteousness, okay, we are righteous and we need to know that. I'm going to stop there. We will carry on next week, right? We'll get into the nitty-gritties of it. Is that okay? Amen. Cool. Praise the Lord. Okay. Gail. You got a...